have a queen jam sometimes.
It's got my Kenny Rogers working.
I love Kenny.
All right, enough of that. Just wanted to give y'all a little excitement there just to get your day started. Or your evening started, I should say. So today is overeating Q&A, which means you get to ask all the questions about overeating. As you guys know, this month, that's what we're studying inside of PNP Tribe. And you should have already gone through your workshop. Or even if you haven't done the whole workshop, it's okay. You can ask still any of the questions here. Be fine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this month is a deep dive into the Taking Control module of No BS. So that is over in pnptribe.com. That's your membership site. If you go to bonus courses, it is deep dive, Taking Control. What I suggest you do is to watch module five of No BS. Go through that. And then what we did was we did a full-on workshop last Monday. And I taught for 2 hours. And then instead of giving you the entire 2 hour, like in your face version, we broke it up into sections for you so that for all of you who want to listen to it kind of on the go, start and stop, it'd be a little bit more convenient for you. Okay, so if you have questions, now's the time to ask. Make sure that you are using hashtag ask. Miss Betsy is in here as the coach of record. And what she's going to do is she's going to feed me all the questions over here so that I can, let's see, I'll put them, where's the best place to put them? I'll put them over here. And I'll give, while I'm waiting for a question, this is all about overeating. So now's the time. I know you girls have questions about overeating. One of the things that I do recommend everyone watch, I seriously have watched this video of myself ranting about 5 times now. I'm getting ready to open the tribe again. So just so you all know, the tribe will open again April 3rd through the 5th. So if you have friends that want to join, that will be the time. We will not open again till the end of June. So you know me, I open, I close, and we're done. And we don't do no shenanigans. It's just us, and we're going to lose the weight. But you can let them know that they can go to pnptribe.com during that time. They can sign up. But one of the things I'm doing is I edited down my 18-minute frustration rant where I was talking about doing like being frustrated at like outside like stuff and going to getting started. So I've been watching it almost daily as I've been editing and stuff. And I'm like, damn, I was so passionate. I was like lit legit. So if no one has questions, we're going to get out of here. You got to ask a question. You can't be just like, got to use hashtag ask, guys. Hello, Judy. If I don't sleep well, what do you do if you don't sleep well? I would take Sleep Remedy. That's what I use. There's several things I do to get a good night's sleep. I make sure that my ass goes to bed same time every single day. I am not going to be like jacking my shit by going to bed at different times or Facebooking or watching, prioritizing television. If you want to lose weight, get your sleep. The 18 minute condensed version, it's over on pnptribe.com. Just go to pnptribe.com, go to video replays, Corinne's rants. We're like putting them down there for you guys. And it's a goodie. Be ready for a lot of F-bombs. Man, I was like legit in that one. I'm not kidding. All right. So Cajol, my challenging time is during dinner and I overeat. I don't get much time to eat throughout the day, but at night I eat and I eat and I eat a little more than my two if I don't sleep well. So you're going to need to prioritize your sleep. You're going to have to get good sleep habits going on. Like, and this is like one of those things. You're either in it to win it with your sleep or you're going to get frustrated after 4 or 5 days and be like, oh, no, I'm not getting my sleep. If your brain is used to being stimulated, entertained, waking up, stressed out, whatever it is, the first thing is to identify what's happening with your sleep. Okay, that's always number one. If you're waking up in the middle of the night thinking and stressing, the problem isn't that you need more pills. The problem is that you're not working on what's stressing you. You're probably, most people I know will sit there and wake up and have like a million things going through their brain. I'll ask them like, well, you know, where's your plan? Like, where do you like put everything that you need to do and organize it and like time block it so that you get things done? I don't have one. It's like, no wonder your brain is in overload. It's going to wake up in the middle of the night and it's going to want to think about this stuff. My brain does that very often. I can always tell when I haven't been doing enough like unloading of my brain during the day because it likes to think about it at 3 a.m. when I wake up to go pee. Your brain's like, oh, we're awake. Let's do something. Let's problem solve. And it's completely rested. I want you to think about this. At 3 a.m., your brain is like, okay, go time. Let's do this. It thinks it's a party. It's like a toddler. I swear to God, our brains are so much like toddlers. How many times have you had a baby and they wake up at 3 a.m. and they're just playing in their crib, rested? Your brain is the same way. So at night, what's going to have to happen is you need a plan for your evening. Now, if you're eating all throughout the night, then you need to plan for all of that food. Y'all get over the bullshit of sitting there and thinking that tonight's the night that like all my diet mentality comes to fruition. Like, here I am, every book I've ever read perfectly aligns. That day is never coming, so quit wishing for it or thinking it's coming. Get it out of your head now. Here's what has to happen. I want you to go and watch the coaching call I did the other day. I'm gonna pull it up. Betsy, I don't know if you can just find it real quick. I've got like 5,000 safaris open right now. I want the coaching call. Hang on just a second. I want the coaching call where I talk to the girl who did the, she did the planned overeat. This is what we need to be doing, Cajal. You're going to need to plan a fucking overeat night. The ones you're doing now, we're going to go and we're going to do them eyes wide open. We're not going to sit there and act like we're the victim of sleep and the victim of not following our plan. You ain't no victim. Nobody is. Y'all are all grown ass women. What we're going to do is we're like, if you're jacking your evenings, then we're going to plan so that you eat on plan. And you have to sit there. And guys, like, you're going to hear in this call, it is zero fun to eat that way. Zero fun. It is pnptribe.com. If you go to the video replays, you want to look for Corinne Coaches, March 10th of 2019. It's called Decision Making, Diet Mentality, Planning Overeats, and Relationships. We talk a little bit about all of it. But the one I want you watching is Planning Overeats. Every single one of you on here, if you are sitting around making plans and not following them, and you're overeating, you need to watch that call. It is wonderful. She got on the call and she had planned an overeat that morning and we processed it in live time. What happened? It's so good. Yeah, her name was Jamie. The other thing, Betsy, there is a really good realistic planning call that I've done recently. Will you find that one too? And I will say it out loud on here. I want, when we do the replay of this, I want all these links included. Marge, how do you stop a binge tired of the shame? The best way to stop a binge is to quit expecting yourself to stop the binge in the middle. Here's the thing. Before you'll ever stop a binge, the shame part has to stop first. Because this is what happens. You binge, and when you get caught up in the shame part of it, your brain goes fuzzy and you don't really remember what's happened prior to. So I want you to go to the Taking Control workshop. I want you to watch all of it. I talk about this stuff in there. You have to be doing, like, guys, if you literally want to like stop binging, then you have to be dedicated to doing recovery worksheets. And if you're binging, then you don't need to do the 2-minute drill. You need to be all in on the hardcore ones. Go get them printed, like 50 or 60 of them, and get them in your binder. Like, when it happens, you need to immediately move into, I do not have time to beat myself over this. If I got time to be beating myself up, I'll save that for when I'm done processing what the fuck just happened. That part has to come first. It has to. Otherwise, you'll never stop them. And one of the things about binges that most people don't really realize is that binges, I coached Permjeet on this. Binges last longer and are extended and you eat more when your brain knows the shame cycle is at the end. If at the end of the road that you're going to run off a cliff, you're going to do all you can to prolong how long it's going to take you to get there. which means that if you're binging, you're going to binge until you're numb, until you're miserable in your belly, until you're miserable in your body, and it takes a long time to get to the beaten up part of it. That part, like, that's why the shame cycle, you've got to work yourself backward with binges. So with binges, you have to stop with the shame and get to where you're really good at processing. And then only when you get really good at processing will you be able to set yourself up with, like, all kinds of triggers throughout a binge that gives you moments to pause, moments to end it, moments to think. Most of you think the only way to have success with binges is for them to just dead stop. Most people who binge are just like people who are going to overeat. You'll probably do them the rest of your life. You just probably won't do them with the intensity, the volume, the shame, and all the things. Just every now and then, it's just like, you know, it's like if you give up cussing, every now and then you might cuss. Like, I just want you guys to just kind of think of it as like, if you can just quit making it an enormous ass problem and just start looking at it as like, this is the thing I'm going to work on. And I'm going to find all kinds of milestones of success. So for a lot of you, stopping the shaming and always doing a recovery worksheet will be success milestone number one. Or I quickly get out of shaming, but I always do a recovery worksheet. Success milestone number one. Try to figure out what are all of those going to be. So for some of you, it may also be like, let's say, a big milestone for you will be you notice that you always finish everything you start eating and you put some of it away. Like, even if it's like you stop short of the last Oreo in a whole package. And I don't mean the individual serving. We all know we're talking about the real size. Like, if it means like leaving one and being like courageous enough to say like, I get to stop whenever I want and I'm not even finishing this one. Like, those kinds of things are all milestones throughout the process. So that's how, like, when you ask me how do you stop a binge, I want you to figure out, like, what are all the different little points throughout a binge that I could set up as like, okay, so when I start a binge, I'm going to make sure I'm doing this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, and have like 30 of those things and have check-in points. I would, if I was you, one of the things that I would do is go to the deep dive course for taking control and listen to the part where I talk about the behavioral chain analysis. There's a worksheet in there so that you can back it up so that when you're processing it after the fact, that you can kind of figure out where all the little markers were of what triggered it, where you were at in the middle of it, what kind of kept you going. And that will give you some insight into some of the things that you can change moving forward. I did the if only worksheet. I feel like the answers I would put on the second page are the same as the first. I didn't write all bad things on the first page, but just wondering, is this bad? Am I missing something? No, guys, the if only worksheet, there's no right way to do it. Everybody's going to have their own experience with it. With the if only worksheet, the big thing about it is for you to be able to say, like, to understand where you are limiting yourself now, because you think, if only I lose my weight, I would be doing, thinking, and saying, and feeling these things. And for some of you, you're going to notice that when we say we can't lose weight, you're going to be like, well, then I would be depressed. That is what you have to work on, because that means you're judging where you're at now versus just being where you're at now with your weight and willing to move forward. Like, you're losing your weight and then weight, like, as you weigh 250 and you weigh 150, 150 isn't where all the happiness is. Throughout the process is where the happiness is all created. Like, that's why most people, when they say, like, they don't ever lose their weight and keep it off, it isn't just because they do bullshitty diet tactics. It's because they do bullshitty diet tactics and they suffer their way down. And then they wonder why just being in a new body doesn't fix everything. It's like, well, now I'm still afraid of food. I'm still afraid of eating. I don't know if I'm still like in total confusion and overwhelm and fear that I'll never be able to keep my weight off. All of those feelings, if they're still there around the food, guess what? You'll go back to eating to escape those emotions, because you will not have the weight loss and the payoff of the scale to bring you any happiness anymore. Every maintenance will gin up fear. Every week. And eventually you'll want to get out of it. So that's why we always say, like, you like, this is the thing that I think is the hardest concept to explain. It is not that losing 100 pounds doesn't feel fucking amazing. It really does. But it doesn't solve everything. I have, like, when I was thinking about when I've lost weight before, you know, I had lost like 50 to 75 pounds and I felt amazing in my body then too. But the difference was, is that I didn't learn how to enjoy being healthy. I didn't learn how to look forward to the process of losing weight. I had just like stuffed it all down. And then when I would lose the weight, I would be terrified that I hadn't learned anything, that I was going to have to live like this the rest of my life. Then I would just start eating. Or I would find problems in my life that I wasn't willing to work on once I lost the weight. And so then I would create another weight problem so I could focus on that instead of like repairing relationships with my mother or my father or doing things like that. There's all kinds of things that happen. So the If Only worksheet, its real purpose is for you just to identify that if you weren't able to lose another pound, could you live your life? Could you find happiness now? Could you do that? Because the people who are willing to work on being able to do that are the ones it's going to be a lot easier for them to lose the weight. The people who are going to be stuck that they have to be miserable, if they think their weight is the cause of their misery, then they're not understanding the point that the weight isn't the cause. The thoughts about the weight are the cause of the misery. And so when you really like yourself, you're willing to treat yourself better with food, with exercise, with your thinking. My issue seems to be more of overdrinking versus overeating. Cheryl, all you have to do is every single thing that I'm teaching in this, you apply straight to drinking. It's the same. There's no difference. It is the exact same work. So wherever I talk about overeating, you just insert booze. And trust me, I know because I've done that work. There's also, if you want to work on the Mastering Drinking program and you don't want to do our overeating program right now, that's fine too. You can still come to all the calls and get value, but and like just apply it to that. But if you'd rather go through the other one, that's cool. It's a quick program. It doesn't take long. When is it okay to overeat a little if you will be busy and unable to eat when it is? And when is it diet mentality and you are just afraid to be hungry? Does that make sense? It's all based upon the feeling. So every now and then, like I will know I'm going to have like a really long day. And so I will eat early in the day. I'm not hungry at all. And I know like there was like a day, it was like the other day. I knew that if I didn't eat like at 8 o'clock in the morning and I was not going to get a chance to eat until about 7 o'clock at night. Well, I didn't want to spend my day fasting. I just didn't. So I went ahead and I ate more than normal. And I didn't do it because I was so terrified that if I didn't eat, that I'd be so hungry that I'd overeat that night. I did it because I wanted to feel energized all day. Like I did it from that perspective. The difference between diet mentality when someone's overeating and fear, it's like, I'm afraid I'll overeat if I don't overeat now. What I was doing is I was like, I was eating because I knew that I had an intense mental day ahead of me. And the last thing I wanted to do was fast through it. Like, I don't want the distraction. And that's fine. None of us get overweight because we don't want food to be a distraction to us or hunger to be a distraction. I understand my 2 to 2 cues. Why is it so hard to wait for -2? Sometimes it is 6 hours. It's hard to wait because food is entertaining. I want you to ask yourself, like, most of us like eating. Most of us, while we're waiting to eat, are having to work or probably doing, like, we're not just sitting around reading a book or at the, at the spa. How many times have you been okay with waiting for 6 hours to eat and you have been, like, on a girl's trip or at a spa or, you know, like, doing something incredibly fun and the day just go and it's like, oh, you know, I didn't even get hungry. It was so easy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, because when you're waiting to get hungry and you're sitting around at work, not enjoying your tasks and stuff, that's probably why. Or playing with your kids all day. You're like, oh, mommy needs a snack. I'm noticing that I will do well following my plan for 5 or 6 days and then we'll have a 1 or 2 off plan or overeat badly days. We don't call them bad days. They're just off plan days. Don't call them a bad day. Here's, guys, y'all stop doing this, please. I am not hammering on you, Rebecca, but I'm hammering on all of us at this point. There's no bad food and there's no bad days. There are days, there are food. period. The reason why this is important is because if you think it was a bad day, your brain is taking that in as if you are a bad person. You did something bad. Same thing with food. If you like, people will say like, well, I don't want to eat, like I was eating cupcakes. I know that's a bad food. It's like, no, it's called a fucking cupcake. Just put it down. I overate on cupcakes. I ate off plan. Be done. Because here's the thing. If you think those foods are bad, then if you're ingesting bad things, you're a bad person. You're going to feel skeezball. So you got to stop doing that. Like, guys, I know it sounds so, like, I know y'all are just like, she's such an, like, an asshole because she's always yelling at us about this stuff. It is so important. Somebody needs to be yelling at y'all about it because, like, nobody tells you this. And it is such a, like, cock blocker for being able to get your weight off. Let's see. What else did you say? How can I break this cycle? The biggest thing is what I would do, if you notice you have a cycle like that, like if you understand that on the fifth or sixth day, then you should plan. Here's two things you can do. You need to be super aware. You need to like go through and track and see if they're always on the same days. Like if yours are always Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday, then you know you have a weekend problem. If you, if it's just every, like you have about that much energy, then you know your plan on the fifth and sixth day, you need to write a plan for what you're going to do when your mind goes to bullshit thinking. Like what is it that you think on those days? And be hyper aware on that day. Like wake up, do a thought download. Like today's the day I'm likely to think these things. And I'm going to be very aware that that's going to come up. But here is the plan for today. And you keep the plan with you. And then you visualize yourself eating that food and wanting everything else. And what you're going to think when you want everything else versus what you're doing right now is like, hope for the best. Like, this is the week. Like, guys, seriously, you have to do more visualization. You have to do more thinking and planning. Plan for the bullshit thinking, experience the bullshit thinking ahead of time in your brain, and then show up for yourself in your brain. Do some dry run-throughs so it doesn't just be like weaving on in there like a little garden snake and nobody saw it. You need to make sure you're doing this work. I haven't lost the weight since January, and I think it might be a lack of consistency. Probably. 2 days a week, like, or every 5 or 6 days. I mean, once you think about it, it's like saying, you know, 30% of the time, 25% of the time, I'm just eating whatever I want. Guys, that's going to like jack the results. I am doing well, almost to Queen's Club. Whoop! I am falling in love with who I'm becoming. But when I started doing the old belief worksheet, I actually felt sad. Like, aw, I'm becoming someone different. Oh my God, I am changing. Oh no. What if I become someone I don't like, even though I am becoming a person I want to be? Why am I sad? I don't understand. You're sad. We all, guys, I will tell you that it's just your brain's way of saying like, we don't want to, you know why you're sad? There's probably part, like, guys, I don't think there's anything wrong with being sad either. There's probably parts of you, like, I would, like, ask, what parts am I sad to say goodbye to? And then decide, do I really, like, is saying goodbye to those things? Because I will tell you, there's, like, lots of times that I used to overeat and stuff, that saying goodbye to it, it was a little sad. Those were some good times. But I also reminded myself that there are parts of those good times I could bring with me that didn't require me to also not like a lot of the other things about me. It's just kind of like gaining some wide perspective there. And then you say like, well, what parts of the old me do I want to bring along for the ride? What parts of the new me am I really excited about? And what parts am I just ready to say, we've had a good run and like, see you later. I mean, literally. It's just like with, like Chris and I, we're kind of saying goodbye to several old versions of ourselves. And it is sad. You know, the King and I used to go to Vegas all the time, every year. And, you know, we would go like six times in the summer. We would party. I mean, y'all know, you've seen pictures and stuff like that. But we're kind of changing gears. We're getting a little bit more, I don't know, just, homebody-ish and stuff. And I was telling him the other day, I was like, I think I just may want to go to Vegas like once or twice this summer. I think I just want to hang out at home and just enjoy being at home and whatnot. And I told him, I said, it's kind of sad. I'm like, think of all the good times we've had. And now that was sad. And I want to tell you, though, there's a lot of that those summers and a lot of things about me, like, that I didn't like. Like, we drank a lot. There was plenty of times I did not like. Like, we would get into arguments sometimes, you know, drunk fighting and all that kind of shit. I mean, I'm just being honest. But there's lots of good things, too. And I just make sure that I reconcile that. That I'm not, like, you know, like, and I would just, like, retire the idea I'm going to become someone I don't like. I'm teaching you thought work, Megan. You do not need to worry about that. We are doing everything here from a perspective of generating the thoughts we want, generating the person that we want to be. I would just be like, it is natural to be scared. Like, your brain is literally throwing that up there as a way to just be like, are you sure you want to give up donuts? They're really good. Like, that is what your brain is doing. You just need to, like, call bullshit and just say, like, you know what? I have tools that I've never had the rest of my life. I am enjoying the process. This is unlike anything I've ever done. There's probably also a little bit of that. If you have always lost weight from a place of hating yourself, or it was restrictive and depriving, and it was a miserable process, and you, like, you had to drop your social life, like, guys, I'm going to tell you, I don't teach you to do that shit. And that's the hardest part for most of you, is that when you're not experiencing it being a complete ass fest, and it's like you actually start doing some of this stuff, you just get over your fear of doing it a new way, and you let go of hanging on to your old shit, and you start going like, oh, wow, this is, like, easier than I was imagining it was going to be. Like, oh, wow, like, this actually feels good. It runs up against everything you believe dieting has to be. And it feels awful. It feels like a lie. It feels like it can't be true. It feels like all these things. And you have to just keep telling yourself, the only reason why I'm so nervous right now, the only reason why I'm so scared right now, the only reason why I'm doing all this is because I've always believed I had to be miserable to lose weight. And I'm learning that I don't have to be miserable to lose weight. I know a lot of you are so worried that I hear y'all say all the time, the worst's going to be so hard. I'm going to uncover all this doo-doo and stuff about me. Guys, you may or may not uncover some stuff, but the part that you guys forget is that we are building resiliency in your emotional skill set while we do this. As you uncover that stuff, it will make you want to work on it. You will not want to run from it. The hardest part of everything in PNP is that first little phase of, like, understanding all the things that you think about your world are just thoughts. Because you're like, oh, shit, now it's all on me. And it is. But that's also the part of what you get excited about. It's like, God, loving myself doesn't require the rest of the world to hold my emotional basket. I don't need everybody else to, like, tell me I'm doing it right. I don't need other people to tell me I'm pretty. I don't need other people to be like, good job. Like, I don't need all that anymore. Like, I literally get to do that and I get to experience those feelings. When that stuff happens, oh my gosh, the rest of it's cake. Literally, like, healthy cake, healthy planned cake. You wrote the thread on Facebook this morning asking us to post if we wanted an accountability partner. Do you match us up or do we ask around? What we do is you post in the thread and then Mary Jo comes through. And anyone that doesn't get picked up by someone, then we find you someone. So Mary Jo's job on Mondays, literally, is she goes through that thread and she looks to see if anybody wasn't matched. And if nobody was matched, then Mary Jo comes in and she finds people. But that's it, Daria. Just if nobody responded, because what happens is, you know, we go through the day and we're going to be talking about overeating tonight and stuff. If no one responded, that doesn't mean, I was like, oh yeah, no, that girl, she's fucking batshit crazy. No, nobody use her. That's not what happens. It's people are at work or people have their kids or whatever, and it just didn't get tagged in the feed. So just go back to your post, reply, and tag Mary Jo, and Mary Jo will help find you someone. I often overeat and off-plan eat on the weekend. How do I make a plan and balance spontaneity and also be strict enough to follow a plan and not overeat? You just make a plan. If you want to be spontaneous, here's the thing. Ask yourself, why do you want to be like, I wouldn't say I want to balance spontaneity. You know what spontaneity does? Grows asses. If you want to have a hamburger, just plan for a fucking hamburger. You don't need to be spontaneous. If you want to have a meal and you're like, I know we're going to go out, Like, you have to, like, choose goal or spontaneity. Lose weight or spontaneity. What else did you write? I often overeat and eat off plan. Then you need to have a weekend where you plan all this bullshit that you want to do. Like, here's the thing. Let's not be spontaneous. Let's just plan every overeat. And let's see how fucking spontaneously fun that is. That is the problem. You all think spontaneity is so much fun until you're on the overeating call wanting to know how to lose weight and tired of your bullshit behavior on the weekend. Here's what you got to do. Like, on Friday, you need to plan Saturday and Sunday, and you need to be real honest with yourself. Like, this is the shit I'm going to eat all weekend. And I'm going to eat it, like, wide ass open. And I'm going to see how spontaneous feels, really. Because here's the thing. It's not as fun as you think it is. You think it's fun. What's fun? You're eating. But what's really fun is the experience. But you're making it all about the food. Yeah, I'm going to be the first one to say the first couple times you go out and have a salad and everybody else is having chips and margaritas, your brain will be on fire with how deprived you are and how, like, this is legit shit. But that's your thinking. That's not you being deprived. That's your thoughts. And you get to control those. You also could just sit there and say, like, I'm having a damn salad. And if I want to have a good time, get over it. It's a salad. They're having chips. Like, that's the stuff I tell myself. Like, when I go to the bar with Chris on the nights that I don't plan to drink, yeah, I see every nacho and I smell every glass of wine that comes by my way. And a lot of times I'm just like, ooh, that would be good. And sometimes I'll catch myself thinking about it and I'll just like, stop. This is not on your plan. Just stop. What's the point? And I will just keep reminding myself and reminding myself and reminding myself that this is what we're doing. I don't like sit there and go, oh, so terrible. I wish I didn't want it. I wish I want. That's the bullshit thinking. I don't allow myself to do that. I'm not going to sit there and white knuckle and willpower myself through anything like that. I like, if I'm ever going to have to white knuckle, it's going to be to not kill somebody because they say something about my kid. If I'm going to willpower myself, it's going to be willpower to, like, you know, clean a toilet. Because I ain't got nobody to clean my toilet next week. I'm not wasting it on food. There's plenty of places in the world where we need to use our willpower and our white knuckling. And we need to save that shit for when it really matters. So this is the thing I want you to think about. I want you to plan your damn weekend. Realistically. Like, make that plan today because you probably donked off all weekend long eating spontaneously thinking you're having this amazing time. Here's the thing. If it was so much fucking fun, you wouldn't be asking me tonight how to fix that. This is part of the fun. This is what you got to tell yourself. Part of the fun is waking up Monday morning and being like, like, that's part of the fun. Like, we have to tell ourselves all the truth. We don't get to just half-ass our truth. That's part of the other problem, too. Like, you guys, like, I let you guys eat anything you want. You can plan anything. I just want when you're having it for it to truly matter. Like, just having food because everyone else is, it's not as enjoyable as looking forward to it through the week and having a real experience with it. And like eating it to where you don't stuff yourself. And you get to experience all that pride on the back end. You get to come in here and you get to post and be like, who the fuck leaves half of the fajitas behind? This girl does. Like that, all that part, that's the spontaneous part I want you to be able to enjoy. I want you to spontaneously be proud of yourself. Spontaneously be able to make a post and be like, I'm blowing my mind. I want you to wake up and get on the scale and have a spontaneous fat drop. Because you weren't just eating whatever everybody else was all weekend. Like, if we're going to do spontaneity, let's do it right. I'm still confused in the whole sitting with the urge thing. I recognize urges, let it know I see it. I tell it to F off and go on with my day and the urge goes away. If it doesn't, it goes on tomorrow's plan. Is that sitting with an urge? You're doing it perfectly, Becky. I overeat a bunch when I got home from work. Do I eat dinner or skip eating until actual hunger again? You wait until you're hungry, Maria. Ella, still finding that I can't push myself mentally when doing a recovery worksheet. I answer pretty much the same thing each time. I tried to do the long one, but is there anything else you can suggest? Same circumstance, thoughts, feelings, etc. Because most of the overeats that I still do is fog eating and my brain kind of turns off. Hope this makes sense. Yeah, like when you have a thought, ask, well, why am I thinking that? And then ask it again and ask it again. Try doing that. So like if you think, well, I wanted it. Well, why do you want it so bad at 4 o'clock? Let's see. And then when you say, like, you have, like, if you'll just ask yourself why several times, you'll get to it. So what I would do, Ala, is I would post this, make a post about your latest overeat, and put down your thought, and then ask yourself, like, 3 or 4 times, and why am I thinking that? And why am I thinking that? And why? And refuse to be like, well, I don't know. You know. I don't give a shit if you have to guess. Be wrong. Just put something like freakishly crazy on there. That's fine. But you need to push to see what's going on. Because if it keeps happening, it's because something's going on. And if it's fog eating is like small little things, then have some strategies to not do that anymore. Like move some of the food or do something. My body is making me sick to be with it. I just can't get started. I can't move, but know I'm going to eat more because I have so much anger. What can I do? Tracy, I'm going to need more information on this, baby. I don't know why your body is making me sick. Do you mean physically ill or mentally ill? If you're that sick of it, you need to ask yourself, what can I do today to start so that I can feel better? I mean, that would make sense. I can't move, but no, I'm going to eat more because I have so much anger. I don't know what that means. I don't. When you say I can't move, I don't know what it means if you're injured, like me right now. I'm still nursing it, y'all. Woo-hoo. And I have so much anger. Anger is always masking probably fear. So what are you afraid of is my big question. I would just like whatever's going on, what are you so afraid of? Anger is always like, I'm angry at myself because I'm not doing anything. And it's like, well, why aren't you doing it? Because I'm afraid of what? And then I'd make a list of like 10 things that you're afraid of. In going backwards from an overeat, I keep stumbling on anger towards myself. Woo, it's angry day, y'all. What first steps can I take to deal with this anger? Like, guys, I will promise you, anger is always masking fear. It is one of those, it almost always is masking fear. So you ask yourself, I'm really angry because of what? And you list that down. And why is it making me angry? Because blah, blah, blah. And then I would just say, like, and could I be afraid of what? Like, I would just do some work around that. If you're angry at yourself, you're probably angry at yourself for the overeat, is what because you said you're working your way backwards from an overeat. So I would imagine that you're like angry about either how you showed up somewhere, you're angry at the overeat, you're angry at how you responded to someone. And a lot of times that also, like, I'm afraid of what other people think. So you experience shame, and then shame turns right into an overeat, and then you go into anger again, angry at yourself for it. So look into that a little bit, Joy. Is it common to find yourself using the model in all areas of life, just not losing weight? Oh, yeah. The model is for all the things. I'm using it all the time at work and at home, and life seems to be going smoother. Absolutely. Yeah, the model is for everything. Like, it's all of the life coaches from the Life Coach School, we all use the model, and they have, like, they teach business, they teach drinking, they teach money, they teach how to grieve, they teach all the things, and they all use the model. I have been doing 24-hour plans for 76 days. Congratulations, Shelley. Hey, some of you have done the thing. I know, make sure that if you did your 67 and you lost no weight, that you email us in. That is for the few of you that were on that call that I did where I put the challenge out on that one specific call, the 67-day challenge. We didn't have very many that didn't lose weight who completed the 67, but we had two. And Ashley, if you end up watching this, will you make sure that you get your stuff turned in? Because I know you and I think Anna were the two people that have messaged saying you did everything. And Anna actually like had like some amazing data. So I was very proud of her. I have been doing 24-hour plans for 76 days and working on my 2-to-2. Is it normal for your 2-to-2 to change? Yes, absolutely. Sometimes it is from day to day. Is this normal? Yeah. Or am I passing up too many hunger cues? Sometimes I pass up my first or second hunger. It's fine. They change. Like today is one of my days where I'm really not that hungry. I'm ovulating today. A lot of times when I ovulate, I don't get very hungry. I didn't even eat lunch until 11. And then, 6:40? I think I had like a really small bit of my, like what I would call my second meal at 4. And I just wasn't all that hungry. So it just changes. The other day, I could have ate that cat if he'd walked by fast, like slow enough. I heard you mention something about not chewing gum. What's your issue with chewing gum? I don't have an issue for everybody else. I just have a personal issue with it. It hurts my jaws, for one. It makes me hungry. I don't know what it is about gum, but I can chew a piece of gum and within 10 minutes, my stomach is literally on fire growling. So I don't like gum. But it just bothers my, it bothers my jaws. I can't stand it. Where'd you get your shirt? Actually, Jennifer Saya gave this to me. She got it at a boutique up in Washington. She brought it to me at camp, and I'm wearing it today. So if anybody, I don't know if she's on here or not, but I just wanted to let her know that I'm wearing her shirt, and I love it. It was 60-something degrees out today, so I'm like busting out me some spring clothes. I haven't lost weight the last 3 weeks. I've been on plan 80% of the time, and I have over 100 pounds to lose, so I'm thinking it would still be enough. No. You say apparently not too. So we are in agreement. And I consider an off-plan day is when I switch out a meal. I've had 2 overeats in the last 3 weeks. I'm starting to spiral emotionally. I need some advice before I have another overeat. Well, Carla, I can tell you one thing. The only way you're going to lose weight, one, is to not overeat. So having some bullshit diaper fit about it, that ain't going to get you to your goal. I mean, if your problem is I want to lose my 100 pounds, here's what I would do. I'd quit whining on the inside. That's what we all do, right? We all go to like, this is never going to work. This is always like, you have to like, the first thing you have to do is the hardest part, which is control your brain. No fits, no toddlers, no, like, we're not going to Target and laying down in the floor, kicking and screaming until mama gets us the candy bar. You need to tell your brain, get on the plan. It's been 3 weeks, time to level up. Rather than leveling down. Your brain is like, oh, listen, like now, not do this shit. It's like, don't level down, level up. You know your problem. You're 80% of the time on plan. You need to get 100% on plan. Make it your goal. Look at your food and just be like, okay, what are the small changes I can make? There's got to be something. Drink that water. Make sure that sleep's getting done. Don't shit on those. And then when you look at your 2-to-2s and make sure that they are, you know, in line. And then when you're following your plan and switching out meals, make sure they're good, equal, healthy switches. And then just look overall at what you're planning and just say like, okay, my body's telling me right now, maybe I need to like put a fruit in for a yogurt or do something. I'd rather you do something than to throw a fit. And that's what happens, guys. We think that the scale not moving is what's emotionally hurting us. What's emotionally hurting you, Carly, is you're not managing your mind around it. You're looking for excuses from yourself. Like, I want you to look for your solutions from yourself. Why is it so hard to let go of old diet mentality about planning realistically? Because it's not what, no one tells you this. Always thinking there is no way I can lose unless I deprive myself and make myself miserable. This is what's funny. You keep telling yourself that, and then you join PNP probably because you ain't lost no damn weight on deprivation and miserable diets. Start telling yourself, there's no way in hell I can lose weight depriving myself and making myself miserable. Like, just have the conversation that needs to be had with yourself. The only reason why it's hard to do the realistic plan is you keep telling yourself the old story. That shit has to stop. Otherwise, the realistic plan is going to seem like bullshit. It ain't bullshit. There's too many people in here that lose hundreds of pounds who are doing it. Guys, all you have to do is, like, we have so much success in this damn tribe. It is crazy to me how much success we have. And no one is saying, like, well, I know Corinne teaches this, but all of us are really over here in some special Facebook group where she gives us the real stuff. We're all really over here depriving and not eating and suffering. We just pretend over here. shit's not happening. Like, tell yourself every single day, deprivation and what did you call it? And misery gets me nowhere. It's time to level up my brain. It's time for, like, here's the thing. Guys, you don't want to do the unrealistic plan because it's going to slow down the weight loss a little bit. The first part will be slower. And then all of a sudden, it will kick into high gear and you'll never have to do it again. But most of you want to, you're so in such a fucking hurry to lose your weight because here's the thing. You think happiness is in the weight being lost. The happiness is in you figuring out, I am going to solve this problem for the rest of my life. I am done depriving myself. I am done making myself miserable. And I am done with quick fixes. Because quick fixes, here's what they do. They give you some wins in the straight dope beginning. And then they slow down. Because you're deprived and miserable and you start overeating again. Because you're not dealing with your shit. And you're miserable. You just said it. Like, you're not going to be miserable and then weigh 150 pounds and then be thrilled. If you have to deprive and be miserable to get there, you have to stay deprived and miserable around food to stay there. Something will crack eventually. You're not going to put your pants on enough every single day and go shopping enough to buy smaller clothes to give yourself the same dopamine to offset deprivation and misery. That's the, like, the thing that you guys miss out on. This overeating shit, like, the best way to solve it is to start overeating with clarity. To really understand, it ain't as fun to be stuffed as I thought it was. It's not as fun to eat this junk when I'm sitting at the table just eating it. Like, when you're left with your thoughts, then you're left with what you need to actually work on. And changing your thoughts, guys, is not that bad of a deal. You guys always think that you're going to uncover some funky-ass skeletons or something that are going to, like, just put you into a, like, depression tunnel forever. No. Those things are there, and you're already in that tunnel. I'm just asking you to start looking for the light to get out. Like, let's just, like, feel around and see if we can figure out how to find a crack where we can get through it. That's what we're trying to get you to do. Do you think planning exceptions is necessary to work through some of the mind work from overeating? Yes. No my protocol is pretty much wide open, and I've been working more on following the hunger scale than planning exceptions, but I still find myself eating off plan. Like, nail eating on plan, guys. I don't care what you have to put on that plan. Nail consistency, nail showing up for yourself, nail eating the foods, never ever again behind your own back. Guys, that's the problem. You're going to keep overeating if you keep saying it's okay to eat behind your own back. The only way you'll ever stop overeating is to start eating right in front of your own face. See what the problem is. See what you're experiencing. I don't care what you put on that plan. Just start promising yourself you'll never eat behind your own back again. And then if you ever do it, you tell yourself immediately, I don't eat behind my own back. Why did I do it this time? Because I'm not that person anymore. And you have to keep telling yourself, I don't care if you overeat every single day for like 4 months. You have to tell yourself that. You have to start believing you're the kind of person who is like, I don't eat behind my own back. I show up for myself every day. I'm the kind of person that will do as many recovery worksheets as it's going to take. I will plan as realistically as it's going to take. I am solving this problem for good. Like, that is how you stay out of diet mentality. If you're thinking that shit 10,000 times a day versus this other bullshit you think about all the time, like, change gears when that shit comes up. Think the things that I tell you week in and week out. If you got time to think that other bullshit, you got time to change your mind about what you're going to think about. And do not sit there and tell me, but it's hard. I don't care. I know how hard it is. I had to fucking do it. I know exactly how hard it is. And I did it in weight loss. I did it with my child. I did it with being uneducated. I did it with my parents. I have done this so many fucking times. I get it. I'm telling you, it's worth every penny of your time to do it. So stop arguing with yourself that it's hard and argue for yourself that it's worth it. It's worth the mental exhaustion. It's worth being frustrated. You have to do it a lot. It's worth all of it. I'm still having trouble overeating meals I really like. I found a 2-cupcake recipe that has helped a lot with my sweet tooth. No more big batches. That's a good trick. But when I buy and make Trader Joe's prepackaged food, I have a lot of trouble throwing some away. It's like my crack. Amica, I would just plan to throw some away. So here's what I would do is rather than like trying to be all like, this is what like all woo about it. Like a lot of us, we are like, today's the day I'm going to like, you know, eat my two and I'm going to like do that stuff. But what we don't do is like, today's the day I'm going to make that Trader Joe's meal. And when I dish it out in the bowl, the rest of it's going in the trash before I even get the opportunity to have to think about it. I'm going to think about it preemptively. Or when you make those Trader Joe meals, if it's some of those that come in a bag, throw half the frozen shit away. Just until you get into the habit of being willing to do that. Then once you're like, you've broken yourself of the tie of wasting food and stuff, then you can be like, you know what? Today I'm just going to make it and I'm just going to save it. I'm tired of throwing away the food, but I'm also not going to eat it. I'm super stuck at 200 pounds. I'm working out every day doing Pilates. I am making my 24-hour plan, and I may substitute, but I've only eaten off plan once or twice. I feel like I'm stuck and not moving into Wonderland. I would love to hear your thoughts. Claire, one thing I would do is probably, you're probably going to need to eat just a little bit less. I would just make sure that you're not eating over satisfied. So you can do one of two things. Play with it for 2 weeks. Try waiting for a little bit more of a hunger signal. Like if you normally hit your -2, give yourself like, say, all right, so every time I notice I hit a -2, I'm going to wait 20 more minutes before I eat. Here's one of the things about the hunger scale that we all forget. Like I always talk about this when the newbies join. This is why the newbies now come into the tribe, because a lot of us forget these little nuances about the hunger scale and stuff. But, I just love newbie magic because it just it humbles us all. Like, oh yeah, forgot that part about the hunger scale. One of the things is that your -2 sometimes, guys, when it first starts, if you'll wait, your hunger goes back up to a 0. And it might be a couple more hours before you actually get back to a -2. That is when your body says, oh, are you not going to eat right now? Well, let me go ahead and dine on your fat. I'll clear out the insulin. I'll start eating your fat stores and stuff. I'll be satisfied there and before it sends you another hunger signal. So Claire, I might even start with the side that you feel most comfortable on. Either eat a little bit less on one side, or who gave me an angry face? It better have been a mistake. Somebody better like throw up a love button or something right now. I never like when that little angry guy comes. But if you were truly angry, you need to do #ask and tell me why. You can do on the other side of the hunger scale, you can wait. Thank you. You can wait like 15, 20 minutes and see if your hunger ebbs back up and see what happens. I would try one of those two things and see if you see any kind of improvement on the scale. I almost bet though, like a lot of times what we do is we get to where we're just slightly hungry. And in the beginning, that's just enough. And then once you start stalling, you may just want to wait just a little bit and see if your body will tap into just, you know, getting to town on your butt and getting to town on your thighs and stuff. And then it might give you like an extra hour or two. That often like will shake a plateau super fast. I heard you mention bites, licks, and tastes on a previous call. Would you elaborate on those, please? Yeah, that's old Weight Watchers. Where are my Weight Watcher girls at? Let's do the like button. Every one of us that's ever done Weight Watchers, we're like, bam, BLTs. Everybody always says when we talk about a BLT in the real world, we're talking about like a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. It's like, no, bites, licks, and tastes, ho. I mean, like, we all know what that is. That's all it is. It's where like, here I am making dinner for the squirt. Let me just take a bite to see if it's seasoned correctly. Oh, wait, are you done with that? Let me lick that. Like, it's bites, licks, and tastes of things. It's literally like, let me just have one French fry. Let me just eat that chicken nugget. Let me just like, that's the shit. And so like back in the day, I talked about it a lot because BLTs, guys, are the kiss of death for weight loss. Those son of a bitches add up so fast. It's unreal. Like a lot of you will set like, a lot of times people are like, I'm on a plateau and I'm not able to lose weight. And I'll ask about BLTs, but what? I'm like, are you like sampling the goods ever? Well, I take little bites, but I just figure because I'm doing so good, they don't matter. I used to have the tribe, this was way back in the day, I used to have them do a bites, licks, and tastes sheet where they would tally how many they would do. And every single one was 50 calories because that's about the average. It's like fit, depending on how healthy you eat, it's 50 to 75 calories a piece. And so we did, this was like, oh my God, this was back when we had forums. This was back when we were like dirty 50, like hardly any of us. And people were tracking them. They're like, holy shit. Like, I mean, like four, this is when we had calories too, like 400 calories worth. And then they were like, well, I guess I need to cut that out. Because even back in the day, before I even taught the hunger scale and stuff, guys, was always trying to talk to them about mindful eating. It's always about your mindfulness. I'm like, guys, that kind of stuff is such a game changer. And they don't, you don't even miss them. Like, you will, like, you have to break the habit. You'll, like, it'll be uncomfortable breaking the habit, but it's not like you're going to be like, oh my God, now I got to sit in all my discomfort because I can't lick the spoon. Like, nobody's doing that. So that's why, like, cleaning up some BLTs is, like, money in the bank for a lot of you. That was a good question. I should probably do a whole, oh my God, maybe I'll do that as a Facebook Live. If I am out somewhere with other people and I overeat, is it really important for me to do a recovery sheet right then and there? If yes, how can I easily do this? I'll be honest with you, Stacey. I'd have the 2-minute drill on my phone. I'd probably go to the potty and I'd have it in my notes app. And I'd probably just like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom. And I'd just go in there and record it super fast. Even if I had to do a voice recording, like maybe you can even just keep a little piece of paper in your purse and you can just record it or you can just type it real quick. I'd do that. But I'm not going to be like, excuse me, everyone. I would like all of you to know I just had an overeat. I'll be getting out my PMP planner. Have you heard about this girl? She cusses a lot. She's like my diet guru. But I'm going to have to do this recovery worksheet because I got to get my shit straight. That would never happen. I could see me at the bar, like busting out something. And Chris be like, what are you doing? A recovery worksheet. Damn, I just got down on those nachos. I got to be the one setting the blazing the trail. No, I would not do that. You know what I would do? I'd get home and do it. Like every now and then, like guys, do it as fast as you can. But majority of our overeats are happening like 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, like when it does, like we can do them. Right. But every now and then we're at a party or something and we're not going to like go to the naughty corner and do our recovery worksheet. All right. Betsy's comment. That's all I see. Just a bunch of Weight Watcher hating now. Guys, let me say this about Weight Watchers and then we'll get out of here. I do not hate Weight Watchers. Here's what I like to think about Weight Watchers. It taught me a lot. One, it taught me I didn't want to count points. It taught me a lot in terms of like what I really didn't want to be doing. Like I really learned when I used to try to calorie count and stuff back in the day. I'm just like, don't want to do that. I tell you the good stuff that Weight Watchers taught me. Weight Watchers was the first real introduction I ever had to actually controlling my portion some, like not just saddling up. Like I remember like when I would eat certain things that were certain points and I would have to measure and I would be shocked and dismayed at how like small food was. Like what a serving was because I'd never really done that. And until Weight Watchers, like I did Weight Watchers at different points. I was like, what? Because I don't know if you guys know, but I lost like all of my weight. And I was posting in Weight Watcher message boards on the, like I just had nothing to do all day. Logan would go to Mother's Day out. I'd lost my weight. I would sit there and I would want to like help people and stuff. And right at the last probably like 10 pounds or so, I was doing triathlons and there was a group who was in there who did triathlons and I was having a really hard time with sports nutrition. And so I'd go in there and then the next thing I knew, I wanted to become a trainer. So I would put questions on their message board. I would have a post every day would be Ask the Trainer and I would answer questions and I loved it. But what Weight Watchers taught me back then was, because I wanted to actually, this is so funny. I don't know. I don't talk about it very often, but I wanted to be a leader really bad. I didn't think I could be, I always knew I could teach women how to lose weight after I'd lost my weight. And I really just thought Weight Watchers was the only way to do it. Like literally, I was like, where am I going to go and teach women how to lose weight? We didn't have like communities like this back in the day. And I went to a local meeting and lost 10 pounds through Weight Watchers just so I could become a lifetime member. And even though I had lost like all this weight, just so I could become a lifetime member, and they would hire me and I could lead meetings. And they told me no. They passed up on me. And so I went to the message boards and started answering questions and started a blog. And that is how PMP was born. So Weight Watchers, they really, like, just through the process of doing that message board, taught me the importance of community and answering women's questions and helping women. They inspired me to start a blog. My blog is what literally started everything. I got an amazing bunch of women who followed my blog all the time. If I missed a day, I blogged every day. If I ever missed one, I would get emails about where my blog was. Was I okay? You know, that kind of shit. But they also taught me a lot about, like, just, I remember when I was that brief little stint about including more vegetables, not being afraid to cook. I remember some of the things that I kind of missed on my way down, like they filled in some of the holes for me. So here's my thing about Weight Watchers. It's not my answer. I think there are a lot of you who use Weight Watchers, the points, and you use the hunger scale and stuff. And I think that's great because I've always, even when I was losing that 10 pounds, I was exercising a lot. I was training for triathlons and stuff. I would always use every single point that I was given. And if I was really hungry, the athletes in the Weight Watchers group would say, like, you just eat more points and you just are okay with that. So it was always like I was intuitively listening back in the day. Like, it just laid so much groundwork for me. So I don't hate on Weight Watchers. I don't think that, like, what I don't like that Weight Watchers does is they make it sound like you can just, like, eat whatever you want, as much as you want, and all this other stuff. They don't teach you how to think about your food. They just kind of teach you how to just kind of hang on that food is so important, and that, like you're, I'm not saying that we're not eating for taste and stuff, but I want you guys to enjoy the process of weight loss, but I want you to enjoy like the mental shifts that you're going through. I want you to enjoy the person you're becoming and all of that stuff. And I think what Weight Watchers does is they put so much focus on what you're eating and how much you're eating that they kind of forget that piece. I know they're trying to work on it, but I think that they forget that it's not just about the food. The food is just part of all of it. If you notice my program, we have about a week and a half worth of food talk. And then we move straight into all the mental stuff because like these calls, like I want you guys to look, like, I don't even know how many calls I probably answered over 20 questions and nobody said, hey, can you tell me exactly what to eat? Is this good or bad? No, we are all having problems with the mental side of it. And so that's the stuff I focus on. So I hope that kind of cleared up some of the Weight Watchers talk. Let me scroll all the way to the bottom. Y'all are some chatties. And they love bread. But anyway, yeah, like Kaylee said, I love this, Kaylee. Thank you so much for saying this. A perfect example of how things work out the way they're supposed to. Yeah, like, you know, I just think about you guys and how much you use your past against yourselves, especially your dieting past and all the things that you've failed on and whatnot. And I just want you to understand it's all important not to beat yourself up over it. There are so many things you can learn from your diet past. If you will quit defining it as your failures and just define it as the lessons, the springboards for what's going to make this time different, it will really change the energy that you put into it. And I just think that's important. Can you recommend some healthy fats? After I just got through saying nobody asks about food. Yeah, it's super easy. Here's what I would do, Amber, is I would go to Felicia. You know how I get the skin. I would go to Pinterest and I would look up healthy fats. There's lots of really good Pinterest pins that will give you lists. But my favorites is pumpkin seeds, for one. I love the ones that are in the shell. I put them in lots of things. I put them in salads and all kinds of stuff. Avocado, of course. Like the avocado oil. We use walnut oil here. We use olive oil. I use, the fats in my coffee each day. I always use whole eggs. I'm a big bacon eater. We do a lot of bacon here. And then when I do meat, we rarely, like, I don't really like chicken breast too much. We usually almost always will do like full on like fat meats. Now I don't do the 80-20 beef, for ground beef, but only because it sometimes tears my stomach up a little bit. So we use a little bit leaner beef. I just think it goes better in a salad. I don't like it when I put it in a salad and then my salad's got that fat congeal all over it. So on that one, we don't. But we tend to just like butter. I use whole fat cottage cheese. I use whole fat sour cream when I do my baked potatoes and stuff. So I use all of that stuff. My wait waitress earlier told me about you and said, join PNP. She wished she could join you. Yeah. That's funny. Hey, Felicia, I'm actually was going to message you. I will message you. I'm coming back in May. I couldn't make a trip over to see you this trip. I had no time for this one, but I'm going to make a trip and make an appointment. So just so you know. All right, guys, that's it for the day. We did good. Only an hour and 6 minutes. I always amaze myself at how much I can talk to you guys on Facebook. Y'all have a good one. I will see you probably Wednesday. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.